allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Now, we go into the second hour of the show. Tony, are we recording now? Are you going to do the... We're going into the second hour of the show here now, and we've been talking about the business of child support, because child support is like any other business now. See, we don't think about it like a business, but wait, let me show you how this is a business, all right? Whenever you meet somebody, and you and this person becomes romantically involved, if you have intercourse, it's a possibility that you can have a child. You can have protection. Protection can break. Protection could be faulty. And if you have a child, that's a business because you have to invest in that child. You have to feed it. You have to educate it. You have to nurture it so that it can grow up to be, hopefully, a good person, a good human, based on what you've poured into it. Now, when you lay down with somebody, you have to be thinking about, what if you have a child with this person? What kind of business will this be? Is it going to be a business where you guys come together collectively and you live under the same roof and raise this child? Will it be a business where, you know, the way child support is set up in this country, and again, support is for the support of the child. It has nothing to do with visitation, but what they do is they give you every other weekend to see the child. If you're a non-custodial parent, if you're picking the child up Friday night at 6 o'clock and have to drop him back Sunday at 6 o'clock, I mean, you're getting 48 hours. Every 2 weeks with your child. You get 96 hours out of the whole month with your child. How are you being a parent? How are you being a parent? So you got to understand that this becomes a business decision for you. Now, what ends up happening is, if you don't end up with the person that you're with and you have a child, it usually ends up in court, and it usually costs money. So you have women who are owed thousands and thousands of back child support. How do you get that money, women? Most of you try to deal with, you know, the social worker, the DA, whoever's going after the child support for you. But really, the way you can make sure you insure your money is you sue. You sue in civil court. You get a judgment, and then you attach that judgment to their checking accounts, to their houses, to their cars, to whatever they own, if they own anything. And that way, if it's ever sold or if they ever put money in there, that money comes to you. Fellas, if you owe back child support, how do you get out of it? How do you get rid of your arrears without paying it all off at a lump sum? The easiest and quickest way to do it is to file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. If you file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, that money is put into your bankruptcy. So as long as you're making your bankruptcy payment, that child support arrearage is getting knocked out. And ladies, this is a good thing for you because you're getting your back money, plus they have to stay current. So you getting your back money and your current money all at the same time. So you should be encouraging your child's father, if he owes you back money, go file that Chapter 13. Go file that Chapter 13. Because it's not only helping him, it's helping you. Fellas, you can't, your credit messed up. You can't get your license suspended because of child support. You file a 13, all that's gone. It's wiped out. I mean, so it's ways that you can do this business that helps you, all right? Now, fellas, another way that you can lower your support. Now, ladies, let me say this, right? Let me say this, ladies. You have to know who you, let me say this to everybody. You have to know who you're laying down with. Now, what does that mean? Ladies, if this man has two baby mamas already, and he's not taking care of his two other kids, you would be crazy to have a child with this man. If he's not providing for the two he already got, if he's not spending time with the two he already has, I know you think you got that platinum. I know you think you got that ooh-wee. But if he's not doing it for the other two because they thought they had that platinum and that ooh-wee too, he's not going to do it for yours if you and him break up. Okay? So know who you laying down with. And then if the brother ain't got no job and ain't got no money, ladies, this is how you end up with a check for $2 in child support. Because they're going to go off the income the man has. All right? Now, fellas, same thing for you. If this woman got two baby daddies and both of them are in child support court, you will be there too. If y'all break up, you are going to be in child support court. I know you think you got that magic stick. Every man thinks he got the magic stick. Let me tell you something. Your magic ain't magic when it ain't there no more. And when it ain't there no more, she wants you in cult, just like she put the other two. I mean, this is what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. You got to look. As my frat brothers would say, watch your setups. You got to watch your setups. Now, fellas, one of the biggest things that non-custodial parents do that mess themselves up with child support is this. You go into child support. Let's say you're ordered to pay $1,000 a month child support. You say to yourself, man, I'm losing $1,000 of my money each month. I got to make that money back up. So you start working overtime. Don't do that. Let me tell you why I'm telling you not to do that. Because if you make any money in overtime, guess what they do? They add that on top of what you already was making. So now that $1,000 kicks up to $1,500 because it's based on all income coming in. So if you work overtime, if you own rental property, If you own stocks, they can come in and literally take a piece of all that money. Now, fellas, how do you lower your child support? You got to file for joint custody of your kid, and then you have to try to get your kid 180 days out of the year. Now, that means you're making a sacrifice, though, because all the free time that you once had because you was just seeing the kid every other weekend, it doesn't exist anymore. And see, somebody just put something out here that's very true. Somebody said they will revoke your passport. They sure will. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I when I was doing the One Love Gospel cruise for Radio 1, every time we did that cruise, every time, 3 years in a row, when we docked back in Florida, it was at least five brothers who could not get off the boat. You know why they couldn't get off the boat? They owed child support. They were getting locked up coming off the boat. Locked up coming off the boat. Because they were revoking their passports as they were walking off the boat. There's like, your passport has been revoked for back child support. You got to come and come with us down to the brig. So you got to understand that all of this stuff plays in, all of it. It's a business. It's a complete business. Now, we come back after the break. I'm going to get back into the business of Trump and why, no matter what people think, he's not going to be impeached. And so because he's not going to be impeached, we need to be worrying about what we can do to change our financial position. Coming back in just a minute. You're listening to the WB.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist.
What?
Post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one Trump fighter in America.
All right, welcome back to the show. All right, Jack, we are back live, brother. And let me say this. Let me talk a little bit about President Trump. So Matthew Marshall, who's listening and watching the show from Barbados, said that, you know, so many people voted for Trump, it shows that they shared his ideas. Now, the thing about the American population and his vote, the vote in America is driven really on two things. All the other stuff is kind of like subcategories, but it's really driven on two things: fear and the economy. If you can create fear, you'll get a lot of people to vote for you. If you can show that you can create a booming economy, you'll get a lot of people to vote for you. Trump was able to do that as somebody who was campaigning. What he literally did was, look, I talked about this during the election. I said, Trump did something that, honestly, I don't think no other politician in the history of this country did. He branded his platform. And when I say he branded his platform, if I told you, okay, what's Hillary's position on immigration? What's Trump's position on immigration? Soon as I say Trump, you know, build a wall. Hillary, you have no damn clue what her position was. If I say, what's Trump's position on the economy and what's Hillary's position in the economy? Trump's position, we're going to bring coal back. We're going to open up the steel mills. We're going to open up the factories that closed. Hillary's position, you really didn't know. All you knew was she didn't like coal. He was able to brand his position. And because he was able to brand them, he was able to tap into the fear and tap into the economy. So you had people who had been Democrats their whole lives living in small town Michigan and small town Ohio, whose jobs had been taken away, all of a sudden voting for Trump because Trump is telling them he's bringing those jobs back. He's recreating them. He's making them come back. And so based on the hope that these jobs was coming back, these people voted for him. Had nothing to do with anything else. This election, this last election between Hillary and Trump, honestly might have been the first election in a very long time that was a one-issue election for most voters. One issue. Either immigration, economy, or if you know, pro-life, pro-life, whatever it may be. But most people voted based on one specific issue. It wasn't like they had five issues that they were voting about. They were voting on one. One. And so Trump was able to tap into that fear and that economic drive. And if you could tap into those things as a politician, you get people to come out and vote for you. You get people to come out and vote for you. And so even today, right, all this stuff that's happened with Trump, whether you talk about this campaign finance stuff or collusion or whatever you want to say, he's not going to get impeached. We have never impeached a sitting president in the United States ever in the history of the country. Now, before y'all start talking about Nixon and Clinton didn't get impeached because he got brought up for impeachment, but the Senate killed it. Nixon didn't get impeached because he met with Barry Goldwater, and Goldwater told him he didn't have 37 senators who were GOP who would ride for Nixon. So Nixon then resigned. We've never had a sitting president get impeached. And the Democrats, quite frankly, are not going to impeach him because they think old school Democrat. If we impeach their guy, they'll come after us one day and try to impeach ours. So we're not going to do it. So, with all that being said, this is why we have to think about what can we do? Because every 4 to 8 years, the presidency is going to change. We need term limits on everybody. If we had term limits on everybody, all this nonsense that's going on in America wouldn't be this way. But because we don't have term limits, then we have exactly what the 1% always wanted. The 1% set up this whole country for themselves. They set it up for themselves. Like I told you, the 1% convinced Americans to fight, break away from the crown because of taxation with no representation. When in reality, they wanted to break away from the crown because they wanted to keep slavery because they had farms. And so they made the king of England look crazy. Look nuts. Go read the preamble to the Constitution if you don't believe me. And see, the only reason I know this to be factual is because when you go out of this country, you learn the real history of what was going on. The history that we got in this country is so inaccurate that it's hysterical sometimes. It's hysterical. The history that we're taught in our history classes as kids is so, it's fairy tales. But this is what America is. America is a fairy tale. Because we believe we got the greatest country in the world. We don't have the greatest country in the world. We got one of the greatest businesses in the world. This is the United States of America, LLC. And because it's a business, and because it's always been ran like a business, it's always been about the 1%. Everybody else in this country, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're Latino. If you're in this country, you're an indentured servant. Because you are a slave to taxes, to bills, to all the things we have in this country. So you work jobs you don't even want to work. We work like no other nation. If you go out to any other nation, some places they only work 3 days a week. We the only country that work the way we work. So we gotta understand that this is all part of the business. Part of the business. You know what? I might have to take y'all back in time. Tell y'all a true Hollywood story during the making of the Constitution. I might tell y'all a story about one of the founders, how much he loved women and alcohol, that they had to put somebody behind him to follow him around because they thought he was going to trick. You're listening to the WB.
Young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Welcome back to the show. So I've been telling you guys, look, we have to think about everything as a business because the United States of America is the United States of America, LLC. Now, let me tell you from a local position how politics is a business and how you should be thinking about it like that. On a local level, you need to find out a couple of things if you want to make money locally as a business. First thing, you should go to all of the zoning meetings. You know why you should go to the zoning meetings? Because you want to find out where they're going to be building all the new commercial structures at, where they're going to be building the new homes at, because you want to get in that area before they break ground. Usually, if they're going to build something, it's a year to a year and a half to 2 years out. So if you go to the zoning meetings today, you'll know almost 2 years in advance where they're going to be setting up shop in 2020. Okay? That's good for your business, whether you are flipping houses, whether you are renting apartments out, or whether you just a mom and pop entrepreneur and you want to open up a business. Go open up your business over there right now. Because once the housing boom happens, guess what? You already established business over there. All right? Now, this is the other thing. You want to look at who's running your local stuff, right? One of the big things that I always laugh at is school boards, because with the school boards, you have people who get elected with 500 votes, 500 votes, and they're controlling millions of dollars that go into public education and into your kids' schools. And they've gotten 500 votes out of a possible 300,000. 500 people voted for them. And they sitting there controlling all this money. All this money. This is unbelievable. So we got all kind of people watching right now. We're also doing a live YouTube feed. And Lewis says that this is his first time charting live on YouTube or chatting live on YouTube. He's from South Africa. Welcome to the show, Lewis. We got Barbados in the house, Trinidad in the house. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Lewis. Welcome. But we have to think about stuff like this in a business sense, because it's millions of dollars locally that we don't even go and vote for these people. We don't even think about how many of you go out and vote when it's a school board election. Unless literally there's something going on where there's a federal election or a mayoral race or a gubernatorial race, you don't go vote for that school board member, which you should be, because they're controlling millions of dollars. But we don't think about it like that. We're not thinking about it from the sense of they're controlling the purse strings, right? You know, one of the things that always blew my mind in my home city of Chicago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel first became mayor. On the west side of Chicago, they had over 100,000 registered voters. In one area in Chicago, 5,000 people out of 100,000 voted. 5,000. And then people wanted to complain about how this man become mayor. How the way this man become mayor? He became mayor because we didn't go out and locally do what we were supposed to do. We didn't locally do it. And see, we don't think about working as groups neither. Like, so I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I grew up in Inglewood, went to Lindblom for high school. All right. In my community alone, in 1 year, $32 million was spent in my community alone on one thing. On the south side of Chicago, the next zip code with the worst poverty, because Inglewood is one of the most impoverished areas in America, all right? The next zip code with the most poverty on the south side of Chicago spent $28 million on one thing. Do you know what these two zip codes with no money spent $32 million and $28 million on in 1 year? Do y'all know what that was? Lottery. They spent 32 and 28. That's $60 million. $60 million. Imagine if those two zip codes had put that money together, what they could have done for the communities, for those zip codes, for those kids, for those entrepreneurs there. It is unbelievable what we spend money on, and we don't even realize we're spending the money on. We don't even think about it. This is why I try to tell people all the time, look, stop. Don't get caught up in what the 1% wants you to get caught up in, because if you get caught up in that, guess what? You get caught up in racism and sexism and classism and hate. Get caught up in, can I work with this person to make some money? Can we do something together to change what's going on in our community? Can we do something to make it better for everybody else? Because if you get caught up in that, eventually everything will change. Let me give you the perfect example of this, right? I'm going to give it to you from a music point of view, whether you like Kanye West or not. I'm going to give you the Kanye West story, all right? So Kanye's from Chicago. Now, he didn't grow up in the city, but he's from the Chi. Mama taught at Chicago State, and Kanye was in the city all the time, all right? When Kanye first was starting out musically in Chicago, Kanye was just trying to get on. He wasn't a rapper. He was a producer. He created beats. And so what he did was he literally stalked a brother named No ID, all right? But how he got to the point of stalking No ID was he kept meeting people. And he kept doing stuff for people, not making no money. Now, for most people, you would say, why are you doing this and it's not going to make you no money? Kanye understood the long game. His thing was, I don't need to make money right now. I just need to get a name. I need to get my beats where people know this is my music and they want my beats. So he got to the point where he was able to get to Common. Now, I grew up with Lonnie. I've known Lonnie since I was 14, 13 years old. All right. So he got his music to Common. Common, in fact, Common had a record, just a sidebar. Common had a record deal coming out of high school, coming out of Luther South High School. His mother is a vice principal of a elementary school on 55th on the south side of Chicago. She told him, go to college. If you go to college, I'll fund your adventure to try to be a rapper. He went to FAMU, then he left FAMU, went to New York. Mama paid for everything, and, you know, he blew. But back to Kanye. He did all this for free, right? All this for free. And everybody couldn't understand why he was doing it for free. But he understood the long game. He said, man, I just got to get my beats. I got to get people to know me. I got to get people to know who I am. Finally. He had been stalking and stalking and stalking. So No ID started asking about him. Everybody knew who Kanye was. Why? Because Kanye had done stuff with everybody in the city and literally had did it for free. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Investing is the same way. You got to be like an octopus. You got to have a little bit over here, a little bit over here, a little bit over here, a little bit over here. You don't know what's going to pop. You're just trying to get in where you got enough going on, where you got an opportunity for something big to happen. Because as long as you got an opportunity, something can change. If you don't give yourself the opportunity, nothing will change. Nothing will change. If Kanye never gives his stuff away for free, all that great beats, all the great music he had, if he doesn't do that for free, nobody knows who Kanye West is. It's the same thing with investing. If you don't get in, you're going to be in the same spot you in no matter what you do because you're not trying to change it. You're not giving yourself an opportunity to change it. Now, the smart way to do any investment is group investment. You know why? Because it's very minimum risk to you. If you're only putting up $50 or $100, you ain't losing no money. Even if you put up $1,200 over the course of a year, you're really not losing no money because that's money over a course of a year you will throw away on coffee, on donuts, on alcohol, on cigarettes, on lottery, on potato chips, on all kind of stuff. Stuff you see on TV that you want to try, on infomercial stuff. You will throw that money away over the course of a year anyway. Anyway. Why not put that with a bunch of other people and y'all try something? Only makes sense, right? That's all I'm saying. All right. We go to this break. Then we come back and finish up the show. You're listening to the WB.
Listen and imagine.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show. Heard coast to coast and border to border. Giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right. let me thank everybody who's listened to the show, everybody who's watching the show. Tell your friends and family members about the show. Everybody that's on YouTube, thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. 12 more likes. We hit 300 for the day. That would be fantastic. We can get 10 more now. 10 more. I want to close out the show like this. It is literally important that we understand that we can get so much more done by working together than working apart, right? Now, when I do speeches for corporations and for graduations and for churches, and if anybody wants me to come speak, I'll be happy to come speak. You can hit me up, let me know. And usually I always end all my speeches the same way. I always tell them, you know, it's three things I really love to watch on television. I really love to watch the History Channel. Big fan of the History Channel. I can get engulfed in the History Channel for days. Like, I have to force myself to turn it off sometimes. I'm a big fan of the Nature Channel. I'm gonna say the sea and the desert and Africa. I want to know everything about nature I can know. All right. I also am a big fan of infomercials. I'm up usually. I sleep about 2 or 3 hours a night, so I'm up at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's number infomercials on, and I just be in there watching infomercials, amazed. Like, I'm not ordering this, but this show look good. Y'all making some stuff that look delicious on here. Love infomercials, right? And the thing that I tell people when I do the speeches is I say, look, if we can just have geese sense. And they all say, well, what are you talking about, geese sense? So you ever seen a flock of geese fly? It's one goose out in front. When that goose out in front gets tired, what happens? It falls back and another goose goes to the front. I said, then when you watch a flock of geese fly, if one gets tired, it's one in the back that looks like it's drunk flying side for side. But when one in the flock gets tired, that goose goes and flies underneath that other goose to keep the flock tight, traveling at the same speed. And then I said, do you know why geese travel as a flock and not an individual goose? Because as an individual goose, they can only go 12 to 15 miles an hour. As a flock, they can travel up to 71 miles an hour. So they get more distance flying together than alone. Imagine if we had geese sense. Imagine if we could work together, take turns in leadership, and when somebody fell, it was one of us there to pick them up. Imagine what we would do if we just had geese sense. I just wish we had geese sense. Because if we had geese sense, we would understand all the anger, all the hatred, all the sexism, all that would go out the window. Because we would understand it's not about the isms. It's about what we have in common. It's about what we have in common. It's about, you know what? Me and you may not agree on 9 things, but I promise you it's one thing we agree on. It's one thing we agree on. And let's work on that one thing. Because if we work on that one thing and show that we can work together, we can learn to work on another thing together. It's really that simple, y'all. But we keep trying to fight. This is why if you've listened to this show, right? I don't get mad at Trump. You know why I don't get mad at Trump? Trump is only there 4 to 8 years. What I'm getting mad about? I'm more mad with the Senate than I am with Trump. I'm more mad with America for not having term limits than I am with Trump. Why are we, you know, Obama, everybody, half of the country mad at him, half of the country love him. Same thing with Trump. Same thing with George W. Bush. Well, no, I take that back. With Bush, by the time he got in office, everybody was ready for him to go. But it's to me, it's not about that. It's about how do we fix what's going on for everybody else? Let me give you a realization before we get out of here. The Constitution is a working document. It's a living and working document. It consists of about 4,500 words. But the Constitution was never written for Black people, Latino people, or poor white people. It was written for the landowner and the wealthiest at the time. And it was written to protect the landowner and the wealthiest at the time. But one of the greatest things that the landowner and the wealthiest person did in that time was convince the poor that they were different from one another. Prior to the Constitution, you had indentured servants and slaves living in the same quarters, living in the same area, and leading revolts against the 1% together, white and black, together against the 1%. After the Constitution and after the 1% really understood what was going on, what did they do? They created the overseer, the AKA the police. They gave white people who were indentured servants a piece of land and told them, you're better than the black slaves, so we want you to oversee them. Thus, the divide of black and white came to fruition as it is even today. Not even understanding that in the beginning, everybody was on the same team. If you was poor, you were poor. If you was rich, you was rich. It wasn't based on the color of the skin. We get caught up in everything else. Only 8% of all white people were slave owners in this country. Everybody white wasn't a slave owner. Now, everybody white benefited from slavery. They de facto benefited because they were able to get educations on land, get married that black people couldn't do. But you can't say everybody in white America family was slave owners. But this is what's taught in American history so that we stay divided and the 1% can stay where they're at. Look, if you don't do nothing else, tell somebody you love them and appreciate them. You may not get that chance tomorrow. That's why I tell you every day, I love you with the love of Jesus. Not trying to push religion on you. I don't even claim religion. I claim spirituality. But it's the greatest love I know. So I tell you, I love you with that love. God bless you. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Omarosa tomorrow, y'all. Listen to WB.